Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, promenade cracks, barn owls, and big cycles. To try and give you a taste of this and some of the other news that's been hitting our headlines in our print titles and, of course, online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshound's Jess Ward.
Hello.
Sam Turton.
Hi.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
Well, first of all, thank you for holding the fort last week, Katie. I thought you did a lovely job.
Yeah, well, I hope I never have to do it again.
Why?
I didn't enjoy it. It was a lot of pressure and Sam didn't talk. Sam sulked for most of last week's podcast.
Did you sulk, Samuel?
I missed you.
Aww.
You could tell he was missing you. And afterwards he just stormed out of the room.
Well, I thought you did a fantastic job. And a lot of people in the office are saying the same. So,
I've heard that.
Got a bit of a rival there, Andy.
I don't think you have. I think you're all right, Andy. I think you're fine.
I have my script here and it says in big letters, apologise for the lack of intro in last week's podcast, which I noticed when I was listening to the podcast on the way back from Gibraltar last week. There was none of our funky theme tune and Sam saying, "This now it's time for the Iron Man Newspapers podcast live from Nigel." So, producer Emma dropped the ball, as it were, last week. So she's nodding her head in the corner. I can see
that. She is, yeah. So, yes, sorry. Sorry for that, guys.
So I'm back then. Sam missed me. What about the rest of you? Was it nice and quiet in the office last week, was it?
Well, you only talk on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
You don't speak Monday, yeah, Tuesday or Wednesday.
You're kind of like a statue.
I saved the words up. It's like, you know, on Twitter when you had 140 characters. Mm. I save all my 140 characters for Thursday and Friday. Yeah, so okay. Monday through Wednesday.
Nothing.
No. I used quite a lot of characters in Gibraltar last week as well. So you're doing well to get something out of me on Thursday, to be honest. But yeah, I was at the Island Games, which was very hard work, but also very enjoyable.
So how did you end up seeing S Club 7?
So yes,
they're not 7.
That was an added bonus.
I'm so excited to hear.
So Gibraltar has a series of concerts called Gibraltar Nights. Now. Leading up to that Thursday, last Thursday night, they'd had various tribute acts, including the local Cher act, who also happened to be the local Celine Dion act, and several other female leading
divas.
And she'd played Monday through to Thursday.
Oh, God.
Then I noticed on Facebook that morning that S Club, I think that's how they're called now, because there's only three of them left, were playing that Thursday night. And it was free.
What?
So Bradley... Tina.
Do you reckon they even got paid to play? Do you reckon they just showed up because they could, like, someone was letting them play on a stage?
So they were playing in a square called Casement Square, which is the main square in Gibraltar, if any people have ever been to Gibraltar. And that's where they had the medal ceremonies for a lot of the Island Games things. Mm. So, like, the shooting and the cycling and the triathlon. So it was sort of the hub of the games sort of thing. And then on the Thursday night, so they'd had the various presentations for different sports. And an S Club came on. And so Bradley, who I'd saw in earlier in the day enjoying some of the local hospitality, and Tina. Do you remember Tina?
Tina, yeah.
Yes.
I don't know what she brings to the party, to be honest.
Ooh.
And Joe, because it's all Joe.
Joe was the singer, wasn't she? Yeah.
All Joe and Bradley, really.
Yeah.
A lot of double denim,
which
brought it back, you know. They did a 52-minute set. Okay. I missed the first segment of it because I'd been to watch one of the local football teams were playing Legia Warsaw in the Europa League qualifiers. So I only saw the sort of second half of the set, but I shared some videos in our WhatsApp group.
You did. Very bizarre night.
Yeah, but
did you like it though?
Yeah, it was very. I was singing along. It was great. Yeah, and you could obviously go and get. I had a beer while I was watching. It was great. It was just added to the whole atmosphere. But they left at 10:52, and then the DJ came on, but then they got changed in a little marquee. So you know the one you had for your when you went to the shows last year,
the Royal Show,
your Royal Show, which I think you're doing again this year.
We are doing it again this year.
It was about half the size of that, and without Wi-Fi. Isn't ACS Club 7, but also how far have they fallen? You know what I mean?
They used to have their own TV programme on BBC.
Yeah.
Miami 7.
Yeah, so they're still going. They're still, Joe and Bradley.
Yeah, three of them are still going.
They came to our university. I remember seeing them, and my friend and I were at the front, and Bradley leant over him and like put the microphone right next to us, and we were like singing full on.
Oh, wow.
It was really good. So
I wonder where you're going with that story.
I know, I saw your faces.
Yeah. But I also sent a postcard because you were very sceptical about whether I was going to send a postcard last week, Sam.
I was, yeah.
And I did. I went into a shop specifically for this postcard. Didn't have the best selection, but I got one with the monkey on because I know you're all quite animal lovers.
We do love animals.
And it stamp cost 62 pence.
64 pence, I think you'll find.
64, was it?
Yeah.
And it took about a week, I think. I think I posted last Monday morning. And when did we get it? It came this Monday morning or something like that.
It came pretty quickly,
yeah, it
actually.
Did. It came on Monday, and so you, Gibraltar is officially the quickest postal system so far.
Well, there you go.
So when we do get our board up in the room, Gibraltar's going straight to the top.
I look forward to that.
Let me read you your postcard.
I can't remember. It was very late at night, early in the morning. I can't remember.
It says, "Dearest team, hope you are surviving without me. Gibraltar is very hot, and my Isle of Man newspaper's polo shirt's not very cooling. They lap up the sweat like a sponge. If I don't succumb to a monkey attack, see you Monday, Andy."
I like how it was written like a Victorian gentleman exploring deepest Africa. "We haven't heard from Mr. Dalrymple for several years."
Have you been to Gibraltar?
No, it's not on my list.
Well done on getting the postcode correct as well.
I took a card. So
oh, did you?
I would know where to get the right one.
So the covers of they're monkeys, and did you come face to face?
I came face to face with several monkeys on the time trial. So the cycling time trial ended near the top of the rock of Gibraltar, which is imagine riding up Crelland Hill about 27 times, and then you're sort of close to what our cyclists had to go through towards the end of their time trial, having already ridden 16 kilometres by that point. So while I was up there waiting for them to hurry up and get to the finish, I met lots of monkeys, and they're very bolden is the word I would say. I was watching
it. No fear.
So one of the Faroe Island supporters was just there minding his own business. Monkey came down and took his Coke bottle and went. apparently, one of the cyclists was telling me he was out for a training ride up there prior to the competition, and cyclists have pouches in their backs for their food and stuff. A monkey jumped on his back, took his power bar or whatever he had, and then went. So they are very brave.
Very clever.
Did you get bushed to the top of the hill?
No, I got a cable car.
Oh, okay.
I could walk it.
Well, that's what I was just thinking, yeah.
I had flipping new polo on.
I was a little bit impressed a minute when I thought 27 miles per hour. I can't think he walked it, but no. I'm impressed if he did.
And 27 is a guesstimate. I may be over-egging it slightly, but it was a very steep gradient. But yeah,
would you recommend Gibraltar as a holiday destination?
No.
Okay.
Oh.
I'd recommend a trip, as in if there's a day trip available, you can do it in a day, easy. But it's sort of, I don't know how to, it's a very odd place.
Did you go to Morrison's?
I did.
You were quite excited about Morrison's.
Morrison's had a bar.
What?
A bar in a supermarket?
Yep, which was very busy at 10:30 in the morning. Ample parking.
Do you think it's more acceptable to drink in a Morrison's bar rather than a pub?
Well, when I was in Spain, they used to have cerveza beer served in McDonald's.
Yeah, well, then you could get it in Burger King.
Yeah.
So strange.
But yeah, so Morrison's, you could do your shopping, have a pint, and then crack on them. But I did wonder if it sort of, maybe I'm being very stereotypical here, the man would say to his wife, I'm going to go to Morrison's now, love. And she'd be like, oh, that's great, you know, get X,
Y,
Z.
What a gentleman.
And then like 6 hours later, he turns back with like half-eaten baguette and a pack of crisps and something else, and having had lots to drink in the Morrison's bar. But it was amazing. The only thing, they didn't have milk.
What?
So they had UHT.
Oh, no.
Because the milk lorry had been delayed. So that's an actual thing. They don't have. There's no cows on Gibraltar. So
they've got to cross over the
Spanish border, yeah.
But also like on the airport runway.
Yeah, that was very fun. my trolley bag as they're all over across there. But it said no waiting, so I didn't want to dare take a selfie or anything like that. Because I thought I might have been like thrown in jail or something. There's been loads in the press and or papers and there from including my attempts at photography in the Indian Examiner the last couple of weeks. There's more in this week's Courier, which is out today. And then, of course, I put a load on our social media as well, so please do look at our Instagram account, which is at IOM Sports Desk. But enough about Gibraltar. Jess, how's your week been?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. I mean, I've written a lot of kind of hard-hitting stories in the sense of, like, people with illnesses and also there was a cyclist who was hit by a van and he's appealing for witnesses because the wing mirror broke his arm and the driver had apparently driven off. So good in terms of the news for me, But yeah, I just wish the weather was a little bit better. Maybe you should have brought some over from Gibraltar.
Yeah, it was very hot and very windy, bizarrely. Okay. Hot and windy. You were sort of sandblasted, which was interesting. Sam, good week?
Yeah, not too bad. Been a busy week with, and like Jess had to do, being in Timwood all week, so, you know, no real people. I'll just don't name it, HKs who do listen. They've been going on for 3 days this week, so it's been a busy week. I'm listening to them go on and on and on. I actually spoke to one of our listeners this week, though.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Joseph, who we all know. He has just been appointed chairman of the Liberal Vanham Party.
Right.
So we've got a bit of an interview with him in the Examiner this week. Oh, there's something else to, that I haven't put on the thing yet, but there's something else to have a look at.
Something to tantalise the listener with.
Absolutely.
Katie, good week?
Yep, it's always a good week in distribution.
You do, you say that every week? Yeah. So Emma make you say that?
She's smiling at me.
Threats.
Anything interesting in the papers this week from, you know, have we got any supplements or such like?
There were no supplements this week.
But last week I saw was the
class of, which is still available if anyone wants to get a copy online or from our reception.
Yeah.
If you want the proper paper copy.
And not only did it have that, it had tons of Island Games coverage.
It had a lot of Island Games. So it was a really good paper.
It was. They all
one of my favourite independents of the year.
Week 28. Well, we should write that down. One of Katie's favourites. Right, so let's have a look at what we've got this week. Starting with a story about cracks showing in the promenade, Samuel.
Yeah, I'm just going to give you a brief overview of this one, actually, because it's page one of The Independent, and I don't want to do the page one very often, but I think this is quite important, actually, this week, because it has led into... This started off in Timwold, and it's gone through. There are cracks showing on the Red Corridor, where the horse tram tracks and apparently other trams are going to be being...
So this is just the one that's been relayed recently?
Yeah, this is right about the area, about the Queen's Hotel, or some area. And yeah, there's cracks already shown in the road there. They've admitted that they're about 10 weeks behind, and we got a load of questions from that in from Timwold. Paul Spell has written that up, and that's on front page of The Independent, and that'll roll into next week as well, actually, because on, when was that, it would be today now, there's a select committee has been sat discussing this with the Infrastructure Minister Ray Harmer, and six or seven businesses from Douglas Promenade have been in discussing this with today about the impact that the Bromworks have had on their business. So it's actually... This is something we reported on weeks ago, months ago now, about what the Promworks are actually doing to business, and finally somebody's decided to listen to them. So that'll be in The Examiner next week, so there's something to look forward to from the week ahead.
And tell me the interesting thing, because the horse trams haven't been running for the last couple of days, have they?
They've been running for 3 days, they've been missing now, but they're a bit loud. It turns out the horse trams are too loud.
Right, so that's a brash statement, what? And I think we need a bit more information on that. Why are the horse trams too loud?
I have no idea why.
So what are they too loud for?
They're making too much noise.
I think it's from businesses and hotels have been complaining about
the new tracks and the new tarmac they put down is louder than the previous stuff.
So the businesses, I say, it's disturbing.
And people who live on the property.
I mean, they're not running at midnight, are they? They're not.
No.
They're not going at anti-social hours.
That's a good point. But they are too loud.
A load of tram horses just sat in the street corner. No. They'd be going up and down making banging noises again.
Wow. So,
not like hoodlum kids.
This isn't you yanking our chain here, is it? The horse trams are suspended at the moment.
No, they're not suspended. They just haven't been running for the past 3 days for essential work, they've been called.
But we believe that's because they're too loud.
We don't know if that's connected or not. We can't say one way or the other.
Comment.
It's just that it happens to have come up in the same week. That
strange coincidence.
They're a bit too loud. Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's... amazing.
Well, there's one other news that's been up this week. The Examiner front page of that this week is the court case between the ACU and Steve Mercer in terms of where the jurisdiction lies for the crash which injured him last year during the TT involving a course car. That is in the Examiner on the front page this week as well, which is definitely worth a read. Adrian spent a lot of time in court on that, and it's a long read but a very interesting read, and says a lot about what went on during that, and whose fault it is ultimately.
So that's the front page of this week's Examiner, which, Katie, you can get on my third favourite tab on imtoday.co.am.
And click on digital editions.
From horse trams making a lot of noise, potentially, probably, most likely, to barn owls...
screeching.
Making a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you've put in brackets, not even in brackets, barn owls, the night hags.
Yeah, so I interviewed Adam Denard, who's from Manx BirdLife, and he has initiated this project, the Manx Barn Owl project. It started in 2017, but I was doing a bit of research and looking on their site, and they say that the Manx for barn owl, which, I mean, I do apologise, I'm probably going to get this wrong, so apologies in advance, Culture Venon. It's Caelig Oi, I think. Is that 80? Right?
I don't think it is, but it could be.
But that translates as night hags.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's a bit harsh. Night hags. Mm. Because they're quite nice looking owls, or nice looking birds.
Now, I, for one, I knew there was barn owls, but I didn't. Is there quite a big population, you know?
No, so there's about 10 to 12 pairs.
Right.
So they were reintroduced 40 years ago by the government, because they kind of went extinct, or it's believed they went extinct. But they don't really have a real understanding of how many are here in the Isle of Man, and that's why they're kind of asking just, you know, like people like us to go out and make sure that if they do spot a barn owl, to actually get in touch with Manx BirdLife and let them know, because, well, citizen science is going to help a lot.
Can you give them a tweet?
You could, yes. I'll wear that. Boom. Very nice. But I suppose the reason why they're called night hags is because, well, they're white, they fly at night, they do make screeching noises, so that could be quite terrifying, but actually they're quite docile beings, and yeah, so they've got this live feed started, because if you can't see them out in the wild, then you can watch them in this little nest box in somebody's home that is kind of under wraps just for their privacy. But you can see, if you were to look at the live feed now, three babies who are just about to fly the nest. So it's quite exciting.
Very exciting.
So fledglings, they're called. Yeah, and so this... So I was speaking to the director, Adam, and I thought this was quite a good quote. He said, as people get increasingly disconnected from wildlife, the live feed is a good way to get people interested.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, is there a website people can go and watch this?
Yes, so if you want to read the piece, it's on page 14 in The Independent. And the link, I've got it here, but you can also go to the piece to write it out properly. It's manxbirdlife.in/manxbird/barn-owl-project.
Catchy.
It's a bit of a long one.
It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. So I'm guessing you're saying that obviously they want people to see, if they see them, get in touch.
I know that they're more in the northern plains, and
With Barbeagle.
Barbeagle, yeah. All the birds are up there. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, you can, in the piece it kind of goes over what affects them, and because they're mainly affected by the weather and other things that can harm them. But yeah.
I do feel like this podcast has become very bird obsessed in the last few months.
Yeah. It really has, yes.
Bird centric. Yeah. Sam's nodding.
I mean, nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying.
No.
What's your favourite owl, Sam?
I remember a book when I was a kid called The Owl That Was Afraid of the Dark. And I always sort of resonated with him a little bit. Because
of your fear of the dark?
Yeah. And I'd probably have to say him.
What was his name?
I can't remember.
So you're scared of the dark?
No, I used to be.
Oh.
What's your favourite owl?
I quite like barn owls. But going back to New Zealand again, there is an owl called a moorpork.
Oh, sorry. But I will come back and ask you about your favourite owl.
I'm thinking furiously
now.
Yeah,
but we forgot to mention something big that happened in the world of sport on Sunday.
Oh, don't even bring it up.
Sam, would you? There was a lot on Sunday.
We don't need to go over this, guys. Like, just cut over.
Djokovic won Wimbledon.
Yeah, and then there was
Hamilton won the F1.
The F1. Yeah,
there was
something else as well, wasn't there?
There wasn't.
What was it?
It's gone right over my head.
I think it happened. It was at Lords. The cricket was. Oh, the cricket and England beating New Zealand.
A game.
Yeah, in the super over.
The super over.
The champagne super over.
Yeah.
Absolutely gutted for the guys, the Black Caps.
I have to say, it was probably one of the best games of any sport I've seen in a long, long, long time. And I thought the New Zealand captain, Mr. Kane Williamson, spoke very well in defeat. Apparently, this is probably going to rub salt in your wounds even more, it shouldn't have been given as a 6. You know,
I read that, yeah.
It should have been a 5. So New Zealand would have won by a run. In normal time.
Utterly ridiculous, isn't it? But it was a great game. Like, I absolutely loved watching it. Mm. And, you know, kudos to England.
The awkward thing is that people watch that and now have this idea that cricket's really exciting. And then They'll be like, Sam. No, but then they'll be sat down watching like the 5-day test series against Australia where nothing will happen for 3 hours. And I'll be like, and you know, I get why that's exciting. There's a lot of people who've watched that one day and gone, this is great. And
I do feel like cricket kind of went off the radar for quite a bit, but this game has really like pumped it up again.
Yeah, I would say.
It is also good to see the men's team actually win for a change, because of course the England women's team have won the World Cup before in cricket.
Yeah.
It's good to see the lads are finally deciding to catch up.
And of course, as you say, the Ashes are, I think they start next week, is it, or is it this week? Oh, it's very soon, anyway.
Very soon, yeah.
So that'll be, hopefully, continue the summer of love for cricket. Now, back to the Owls.
Yeah. Well, who are you on about? Your
it's
New
called
Zealand?
A Moorpork, and that's because it kind of sounds like it's saying Moorpork when.
Can
when
you
it
do
calls
an impression
up.
Of that?
Okay, well, it goes something like.
So is this an owl? Sorry.
It's an owl, yeah. Right. It's like a quite a small owl.
Not like a cartoon owl, like a real
no,
real owl.
No, it's a real life owl. It's got like a mouldy name, but I can't remember what it's called. But it's like, Moorpork! It kind of sounds like that.
So it just says its own name constantly.
Yeah!
Is it like a moderately powerful Pokemon? Because there's a lot of them used to do that. You know, like Jigglypuff would turn up and he'd go, Jigglypuff. I'm not convinced that Moorpork is a convincing representation of the noise that animal makes.
Maybe not, but...
Can we pause this and get an actual noise and hear somewhere?
Let me go and get my own Moorpork from home there. Come on!
No, I mean, can we get like...
Come on, Terry! In you come!
We get the culture band and lads in the Manx Lands. Let's get an impression of Moorpork in there somewhere.
Alright, okay.
Moorpork.
Right. Katie, your favourite owl?
I don't know many types of owl, but famous owls... Was Whitebird? Was she an owl?
Whitebird?
Do you remember Whitebird?
No.
From play days. No. She would like flap a lot.
As most birds do.
No, she was like a plastic bird. And she would like flap her wings a lot. Was it called play days?
You know? I'm enjoying you. Flapping like, away. You're flapping away in the corner.
Do you remember Whitebird?
No. It does vaguely ring a bell. My favourite owl personally would probably be the one from Animals of Farthing Wood. That was just very wise owl.
Really helped the animals. Yeah. Crossing roads.
Yeah, the two blank looks from the younger members of
is.
The podcast.
You really
I just
out,
thought
guys.
Of like, is it Hedwig?
Hedwig, yeah.
Oh,
what's that?
I want to change it. I don't like Wybird. I like Hedwig.
Harry Potter's owl.
Harry Potter, right.
Yeah, that's, I'm changing my answer.
Please do let us know what your favourite owls are by getting in contact on our social media, Twitter or Instagram. It's at IOM News Podcast. Pictures are encouraged. If you've got an owl,
got a pet one.
Yeah.
People can point out owls that we've forgotten.
Yeah, I think we've covered many of the major owls.
I know something of a parrot. Don't know of an owl.
We haven't branched into parrots yet.
That's
next week. Yeah.
Podcast. What's your favourite parrot?
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right. Talking of a long week. Sunday sees the Gran Fondo cycle around the Isle of Man, where more than 600 cyclists are taking part. Now, it's spread into various different route lengths, but the longest one is 80-odd miles, and it starts up in the Ramsey in the north. Maybe they may see the owls on the northern plains as they pass around. And then they go down as far as St John's and around. The cyclists?
No, the owls.
No, I think they're doing it in the day, because it'd be a bit hard at night. But yes, so that's on Sunday. We've got a full preview to that in this week's Manx Independent. And our dear, beloved sports editor, Mr. John Watson, is doing it for the 837th year in a row.
Oh, nice. 80-odd miles. Yeah.
I asked him before. He said it's either 82 or 83.
Right, okay.
So I was purposely vague with there, Samuel.
It just, you know, it's like you organise a race. How long is it going to be? 80-odd.
Get there when you get to the finish, you finish. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. So it is... It used to be part of the Cycle Fest, which obviously is having a bit of a year off this year, but this event is on its own. And I think there are, I saw in the preview, which as I say is in this week's Manx Independent, they're having a fan park at Moorig Park. So they're going to have a big screen where you can watch the Tour de France stage that day, and then there's going to be lots of different food vendors and a bit of a party atmosphere. So after you've done your, I think you can do, there's a kids race around the edge of the Moorig Park. There's one for about 20 miles, and then there's one about 60, and then one about 80. So after you finish your ride, go back there, maybe have a drink or two.
Oh, cool.
So that's Sunday afternoon if you're out and about. And you're wondering, there is quite a few road closures, so it's worth having a look. And if you're wondering what that's all about, it is about the site.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Sam, this week in history, we once again take ourselves back to the 1950s, this time 1958, yeah. And the Isle of Man Weekly Times. I think this might be one of the best headlines we've come across so far on our various ventures down memory lane.
I think it's definitely got some potential to be one of the top ones.
So go on then, hit us with it.
Mayor was not drunk when I examined him. This is a court case of former Douglas Mayor John Richard Killip, who strongly denied being on the influence of drink to the extent he was not fit to drive a car. But the doctor who they brought in said, I would have got into the car with him, I thought he was fine. And then this, my favourite thing is this actually. Sergeant Turnbull asked the mayor what the £50 reconnaissance meant on the bail document, and he said he'd rather pay £50 than admit to being drunk while driving.
So he'd already been examined by the police doctor, hadn't he?
Yes.
Who had said, he's had a few to drink here, lads, we probably shouldn't let him drive. And then he got a second opinion.
Yeah.
And this was all in the wee small hours, wasn't it? I think it was 4:25.
Yeah, it is quite a weird one. Because drink driving hadn't even been a thing for that long at this point.
But yes, it is. It was obviously a very high-profile case because of who he was. He was mayor of Douglas at that point. So, But it was it's a very interesting story.
You got witness accounts as well saying that there was no sign of him being intoxicated as well. So
the mayor had had one small gin just before he closed the bar. He had supper in the club, tea and sandwiches, and left somewhere between midnight and 12:30 a.m. Mm. So there
quite
you go.
Quite a pleasant evening.
Yes.
Sounds all right, doesn't it?
There's loads of other stories on the front. The Isle of Man Weekly Times was packed. The front page that week was packed with stories. My favourite, another favourite headline, Ramsay has ambassador in Belfast. So not the Isle of Man. Not the Ramsay has an ambassador. Did you read that bit?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was part of the early isolationist policy of Ramsay commissioners, I assume, at the time. This is back when they were trying to break away. It was them and the Foxdale Freedom Fighters.
So it's Mr. Ingram Gillan was presented with a fountain pen by Mr. Sandiford, chairman of the commissioners, at a ceremony in Bury Park on Wednesday evening. So not only was he ambassador, he was also then rewarded for his efforts when he returned to the island.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should have more of that.
Yeah,
I think I should be Onken's representative to, where do I find, Leningrad.
Okay.
I like Coldplay.
Let's forge links with them.
Is Leningrad still called Leningrad?
I'm awfully glad that you have done this, Mr. Gillan. Was a Ramsay boy who's gone to Belfast and becomes Ramsay's ambassador for Belfast.
Yeah, it's just a mad story, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like this one, 125 years today.
Yeah.
Exactly 125 years ago today, which in actual fact is somebody who can do quick maths. Take 2019... Minus 100.
This was 61 years ago.
Yeah, there you go. 61. She's good at that. So that's 186 years ago today that the idea of bringing water into Douglas was first thought of.
Oh, right. What? Okay. July 1833.
Yeah.
A meeting to which the public were invited was held in the courthouse. There, inspectors were appointed to investigate and report on the most suitable sources of water for public supply to the town. Mm-hmm. So there you go. What an anniversary that is.
There was 8,000 inhabitants and 96,000 gallons per day would be ample for them.
You'd think, wouldn't you?
You know one of them things with us, 90,000 gallons? I'm like, what's that? I can't picture that.
I like this story down here. It's labelled The Manx Are Just the Shy. So it's basically this guy had come over from BBC to make a film of the island.
It's a classic programme, Wish You Were Here.
Judith Chalmers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A leather-faced.
So he came over and he said he didn't want like a normal travelogue. He actually wanted to speak to the residents and get their perspectives of what they liked about the Isle of Man and what places they enjoyed. Yeah. But they said that everybody was too shy to like speak into the mic.
Did you find that when you go out for your Vox Pops?
I was just thinking that with my Vox Pops. No?
No.
But the case. I do get a few rejections and some people looking at us in fear and like slowly backing away from us, and it's really awkward, you know, kind of like, what are you doing?
Is that when it's you and John Madrill?
It's me and Dave.
The dream team.
So you'd always approach John Madrill.
Yeah.
This is, to be fair though, when you go further down, right? So it's like the BBC have more plans for the island this summer. So mid August, they were going to have three live programmes transmitted. From the Villa Marina, they're going to have a 6-5 special with Lenny Donegan, Lita Rosa.
Lonnie Donegan.
Lonnie, indeed. I need glasses. Yeah. Lonnie Donegan.
Lita
Rose. Yeah, Lita. Huh. And the Ken McIntosh Orchestra, who were going to perform. But then on Sunday, August 17th, The TV cameras will be visiting Kirkbraddon for the open morning service there. Now, have you ever seen the pictures of them?
They were absolutely massive, weren't they?
Yeah, you used to get like
Glastonbury.
You'd have trains coming from Peel for the session, for the service.
And all the visitors would go, wouldn't they? Because get the open air on. But did you see the other story? The Empire Games team leaves. Now, the Empire Games was the forerunners to the Commonwealth Games. So that was the first time the Isle of Man had competed in that in 1958. The team was, I think, 12. And among them was our first ever medalist, Mr. Stuart Slack, who won a bronze in the road race, cycling road race.
What I love is that you have an Onkin man who was the captain who was taking part in the marathon.
Yeah,
William Henry Kelly.
Henry Kelly, of course, who was a presenter of Going for Gold on BBC. Not the same one.
Oh.
Right, Sam, we've got our usual array of adverts. Which ones caught your eye this week?
Well, the bottom left, we got people. They're looking for people to earn some extra money, do some casual work in the hotels. Down in Port Erin, Ramsey, Peel, actually, all across the island. But I think the one that really sticks out is the bottom right. As his master's voice television.
Hey, his master's voice, which became
HMV.
It did.
Yes. Oh, the dog with the... Oh,
but the gramophone.
Everywhere, didn't it? Yeah. But yeah, you could get a 17-inch model for 68 guineas.
68 guineas?
What's a guinea in today's terms?
I only know the guineas because of horse racing these days.
I don't know what it is.
It is still an acceptable form of currency in Britain, though. You can still legally pay in guineas.
Make sure I cash
I
in.
I can't remember
my
why, but you can.
Jess, was your favourite ad? I thought you were drifting off there.
Oh, no, I was looking at that television ad.
The after one.
They're just like at the details. So it came in walnut veneers. And it had radiant screen tubes, just the way that it's described.
Radiant screen...
screen tubes,
there
yeah.
you go. Well, you wouldn't want a dull screen tube, would you?
No, that's true.
The usual, Hotel Sefton has been advertised on the left. I think that every paper we've seen in the 50s, he has an advert for the Sefton in the top corner.
Unsurpassed for food, service and comfort. Moderate terms, telephone Douglas 495.
And there's also the Castown Pale Ale making a comeback.
Yes, yeah. With the red label.
Don't ask for a red label.
Say Castown Red Label, which is it. A favourite of mine and Sam's. Right, Manx of the Week, Katie. Now, remind us again what last week's was.
Last week's was arsehole.
Okay. Don't know quite how to take that, but there you go. And it says in the pronunciation notes, less ass, more as. So, azzle.
Yes.
Azzle, right.
Because obviously the actual word, when it's written down, has two S's, but it's not pronounced like ass.
Yes.
It's more of an as.
Or azel, either. Because that's also wrong.
Azel.
That is also wrong.
Right. Yeah. So, azzle.
Yep.
And that was...
Donkey.
Yeah.
Because Sam's paper from last week had
a donkey.
Some little donkeys on them.
Oh, very interesting. So this week...
I'm kind of continuing with a theme. So, yeah, if you want to give this one a go. It's an easy one again this week.
Go on in, Jess.
Okay, so it's spelled like APAG, but you pronounce it, I'm assuming, like this. Epig?
Yep.
Ooh, that's a good one. Sam?
Epic.
Yep.
It sounds pretty epic, doesn't it? So yeah, so, okay, epic. And with something, like tenuous connections or something
it,
in the podcast
this week?
It's
kind of connected to something from last week and connected to something from this week.
So let's hear how the Culture Vanning guys say it.
Epic.
And Katie will reveal all next week,
yes.
So to speak, next week's podcast about what epic means.
Exactly.
So stay tuned for that. Jess, what's coming up next week?
Yes, so I'm just doing quite a few community pieces, such as QE2, this is their final week of school left, so they've been doing...
Actually leave today, I think. It's the last day of term today.
Oh, my goodness. And then that long summer holiday.
Yep.
Don't you just miss those days? So they've been out having their enrichment activities and...
Which is a week these days.
Yeah.
I only found out the other day they have a week.
Mm. It was like that for us as well.
It wasn't when I was at school.
That's because you're old.
So what...
So they were basically creating their own rafts and having a raft race across Peel Bay, and they were making it with recycled materials. So Yeah.
And then what happens to the raft after?
Well, I don't know. I'm about to find that out. apart from that, yeah, just my Vox Pops this week is going to be... So I'm going to ask the public about this survey that's recently come out about expats voting the Isle of Man as the best place in the British Isles to live and the 12th best in the world.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
I'd like to see what 11's ahead of us.
What was ahead of us?
I can't remember now. The absolute top was Switzerland. That's the place to be for expats.
But you know what? My friend was an expat in Switzerland, and she said it was the most... She's lived in a lot of countries, and she said it was the most difficult country to make friends in Switzerland. Mm. To make friends with local people. She made other expat friends, but never local friends.
Yeah. No, Swiss don't like to get involved, do they? No. They always remain neutral.
They're very
famously.
Famously. Sam, what's coming up next week?
Well, I'm technically off from...
He's going to Heartbeats.
Oh, is this
that
the Heartbeat weekend?
That makes more mental, you know, every time you shout it. Yeah, I'm off to Yorkshire.
Heartbeats.
A renowned summer destination.
I like Yorkshire. Going off to Whitby.
Whitby.
York.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, having a few days in Yorkshire. So it's going to be great because I've got a little bit to go in the examiner, but I don't know anything else. So I'm back on the yard next Thursday morning at 6 o'clock. I'm bringing the couriers. I'm bringing the Independence over, you see.
Oh, that's very extra
money. Put you in charge of that.
Yeah. So I'll bring them over, and then I'll be popping in for doing the podcast, so I'm going to come into this absolutely blind, not knowing what's the papers.
Well, that'd be...
I'm actually really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting next week. Well, enjoy your trip. York's lovely this time of year. Have you been before?
No.
I would suggest you go to the Railway Museum, because you will absolutely flipping love that.
My friend works there.
Transport King.
All right, name dropper. My friend works at the Railway Museum, don't you?
I'll give you her contact details.
Casey?
We're very busy at the moment in distribution.
You're always busy.
We're always busy, but one of the things, like Jess mentioned, summer holidays coming up now, and we always need courier distributors over the summer, because obviously some distributors are going off on their well-deserved holidays. So if anyone is interested in taking on holiday cover for a courier round, or they want to take on a permanent round, if you want to get in touch with me on 695-649, or email me on katie.kitchener@iomtoday.co.in.
That was lovely. Lovelyly. I don't understand if I've ever heard of it. Remembered. I enjoyed that. I thought you lost it a bit in the middle. I thought you'd forgotten the end.
Yeah,
and it's then always just pulled through.
Then you brought it back. Right, remember you can get in touch throughout the week, as I've said already today, at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and, of course, on the Twitters.
So that's where people can send their... owl
pictures, yeah. Pictures of the favourite owls.
Yeah.
If we get any, I'll be so made up.
It'd be a hoot to see some owl pictures.
Well, we got some seagull pictures, didn't we?
We did.
We did, yeah.
So
that was good.
This is the next challenge for all three of our listeners is to come up with a picture of an owl. Or their favourite owl, no less.
Yeah.
I don't want any old owl, you know, just one they bumped into in the street. You know, I want an actual, their favourite owl.
Fully fledged owl, yeah.
Yeah. Remember, as I said before, if we piqued your interest in any of this week's papers, you can read them online at our digital editions tab, which is at iomtoday.co.im. And it's at the top, isn't it? Very top.
It's on the top. Can't miss it. Digital editions.
If you want to go old school, though, they are, of course, still in the newsagents. Or
they are in newsagents and supermarkets.
Around the island.
Island-wide.
So please go and check them out. Right, I think that's about it for this week. Anything else to add, chaps? Chapesses?
No, not really.
That's all, really.
Right, well, until next week.
Bye for now.